Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Today is October 3rd, 2018. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 26,828, the NASDAQ at 8,025, and the S&P at 2,925. Our topic tonight is transitioning from work to retirement. Transitioning from work to retirement. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number to call in live, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you could just give your question to Lori and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. But the number regardless is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. And email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So let me start by mentioning something new. Yes, it is a new month. Welcome to October, but that is not what I was going to mention. I have something else new. In case you missed any shows or you just want to revisit any shows from September, I created a video recap guide. It's available online at the Valley National Financial Advisors social media pages, which could be Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and also on YouTube. And I plan to create one of these recap videos every month to alert listeners that might want to listen again or share recordings with friends and family that may benefit from any of the topics we cover. So sometimes it's easier for people to listen or hear about something like that through some of those media outlets. So that's what we decided to do. So we're doing monthly recaps. So I did the September recap already. And again, it's just a couple minutes and it's available on any of our Valley National Financial Advisors social media pages. I hope that that will be helpful going forward. Tonight, we again are talking about the transition from working to retirement, and I think it's a good idea to think about this transition while you're still working, because it's better to find out you won't make it while you still have a job than afterwards. You know, quite often people will come to us to ask, you know, can I have a financial plan? I want to know if I can retire. And sometimes they talk about retiring in 6 months or a year. Well, sometimes that's not a big enough transition. It's a good idea to start thinking about this transition from working to retiring a little sooner than that, because maybe you still have time to kind of cut back a little bit, kind of control your spending while you have money coming in, test it out, see how it feels. Are you going to be able to live on the resources you have once you retire, the sources of income and things like that? So I thought we could kind of talk tonight a little bit about some of the things to consider and things that might impact that transition. I don't like people getting caught off guard. I you know, want you to be proactive in your approach to this. So I thought I would, you know, talk about some of the kind of topics or, you know, considerations you have to go through when you're thinking about retiring and or retiring. And conceptually, it's basically just a few categories I thought I would cover. Finances a little bit, health, Finances probably more, and then health issues, hobbies, relocation or travel, part-time work. So I kind of thought, why don't we talk about some of these things that might go into your decision-making or thought process when you're thinking about transitioning from working to retirement. So let's start first talking about finances and retirement accounts. Because typically when we're talking about, let me tell you also in finance, we talk about the retirement accounts, we talk about budget and cash flow, healthcare costs are going to come into it, separate from your overall health, just healthcare costs, and what activities you're going to do. So that's where I'm going to try to touch on part-time work and things like that. So finances. Retirement accounts. When you're transitioning from working to retirement, and you might think you've saved for retirement, maybe you have some retirement accounts that you think you're going to tap, you have to be aware that your age may make a difference when you're thinking about retiring. So your age has an impact on your ability to tap certain retirement accounts. Or sometimes people will retire and not want to touch certain retirement accounts, and at some point you do have to do that as well. So some of those important agents I've talked about on other shows, and that you could probably get online by going to the website, wdiy.org, or Your Financial Choices, and that's been in the distant past. But some of the important ages for our discussion tonight, 55, early retirement, if someone's 55 by December 31st of the year they retire, you might be able to tap that retirement account. So I'm going to talk about that. Age 59 and a half is an important age. Age 62 is an important age. Between 62 and what is considered your full retirement age under Social Security is important. Age 70 is important. Age 70 and a half is important. So when we are looking at the finances of our transition from working to retirement, we might think we have access to all of these retirement accounts. And I've had people tell me they want to retire at 50. Well, here are a few things you need to think about if you want to retire at 50. Number one, you're not going to be able to get to your retirement accounts without penalties for early withdrawal, because the IRS has established certain ages where we can withdraw from our retirement accounts without penalties. Typically, when we are saving for retirement while we're working, we're doing it on a pre-tax basis. We're getting a deduction for it through our employer if we're putting money in, or our employer's putting money in. And then when we eventually take that money out, it's subject to income tax. I'm not talking about Roth or after-tax dollars here. I'm talking about pre-tax contributions to our retirement accounts. We put that in. If we take it out before a certain age, not only do we have the tax on it, we have a 10% penalty. It's called a premature withdrawal penalty. So the whole point of having retirement accounts, the government wants to incent us to save for our retirement. So they're not going to let you, and they give us all this deferral during our working years. Now, all of a sudden, because you decide to retire at 52, they're not going to say, oh, that's okay, now you can take your money out. They want to incent you to work longer and save more. So one of those little exceptions to, so the normal age for being able to take money out of retirement accounts without the 10% penalty is age 59 and a half. There's other exceptions as well, but that's the normal age, 59 and a half. There is one other exception if you retire early, and that is turning age 55 by December 31st of the year of termination. And the termination could be you were terminated or you like retired and left the job. So that's 55 by December 31st of that year. You could escape the 10% penalty. You still might have the income tax, but you could escape the 10% penalty. One thing, though, that people, I think, sometimes forget about when they think, oh, I'm going to retire early, I've saved this money, they might be factoring in what Social Security might be coming into them eventually once they start to collect. But they may not factor that their early retirement may also impact that eventual benefit that they thought they were going to get. So I'll talk more about that when I come back from our first break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You could talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable doing that, give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY is gearing up for our 2018 Fall Membership Drive, starting Friday, October 5th. Once again, we are giving you the opportunity to buy back an entire weekend from the drive if we can reach our $16,000 buyback goal by October 5th. Come together right now and support Lehigh Valley Public Radio. We only have $2,500 to go. Make your buyback gift today at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. And tonight we're talking about transitioning from work to retirement. One of the big considerations in that is looking at what kind of resources you're going to have once you retire, where you're going to get your paycheck, so to speak. So I first want to cover kind of an understanding of when can you even tap these accounts. And I think that's important to know, especially when, you have people who are talking about retiring earlier and earlier. So age 55 is the December, if you're 55 by December 31st of the year of termination, you would escape the 10% penalty. I mentioned age 59 and a half is the normal age. This is all early Social Security. So if you retire at these ages, you're still not eligible for Social Security unless you're disabled or something like that. So when you look at those Social Security statements that they give you, and if you haven't looked at one recently, I think they send them out every fifth year. So when you're age 55, 60, 65, you can go on Social Security's website, ssa.gov, and set up an account for yourself, providing certain security information. Set up an account for yourself, and you'll get your statement. Well, they'll give you an estimate of what your Social Security benefit is going to be at age 62 and at age full retirement age and at age 70. And that is based on the highest 35 years of your working. So if you, and the assumption is that you work at the last compensation noted for those years up until 62, full retirement age, and 70. So the factor that they show for age 70 is assuming that you work until age 70 with a similar kind of compensation that you've had in recent years. So if you retire early at 55, 56, 57, those numbers on that Social Security statement are not going to be accurate. You'll take a little bit of a haircut from what they projected if you indeed retire sooner. All right. So you have to be careful when you're looking at those numbers. Again, age 62 is early retirement age for Social Security. And I'll talk more about Social Security in a little bit. I kind of want to talk a little bit more about some of these important ages to think about when before you're retiring. I had a call from Walt in Bryanigsville, and he said the Social Security statements he's been getting seem to encourage the 66 and a half year retirement. Why don't they give you the various ages and amounts? Hi, Walt. That's a good question. And it happens that I was just talking about the Social Security statement when you must have been calling to ask this a question. I think why they only list age 62, the full retirement age, which based on what you're telling me, your full retirement age is 66 and a half. Other, older people had earlier full retirement ages. It used to be 66, and then they've upped it depending on when you were born to 66 and 1 month, 66 and 2 months, 66 and 3 months, and it's going to go up to, I think, age 67 for full retirement age for some people. When you say it looks like they encourage you to have those amounts. If you look at the age 70 amount, that's usually the highest. And that includes an 8% premium for every year you wait after your full retirement age. So that's kind of a nice benefit. Why don't they show every other year? Well, probably because there's just so much information already on that account statement, and they figure if you know what it is at 62, or you know what it is currently. So let's pretend you pulled up your account statement today and you're 64. I don't think it even shows the 62 benefit. I think it might show that it's age 64 and then your full retirement age. It's kind of like a ballpark in between. I think they don't show all the ages, but if you went on their Social Security website, I think there's calculators and you might be able to put in your numbers, and even under your own account, if you've set up an account, it might calculate it with your actual information if you have it. So the reason it gets better the older you are is because it's all kind of based on the present value of these numbers and your life expectancy. So if we all lived to our exact life expectancy, it's all going to be a wash. So if you collect early, they pay you less, but you would collect it for a longer period of time. If you wait really long to like age 70 and you make all this extra money, I think there might still be actually a little bit of a premium in there. But if you're getting a higher amount, but for a shorter period of time, if it's to your actual life expectancy. Now, if you know that your life expectancy is age 85, but everyone in your family lives to 100, well, you're going to really win on that one. And then there's, of course, people who, their longevity in the family, everyone, passes away at 65. Well, then maybe you might be someone who would want to collect Social Security at 62. So it's kind of a personal situation that you have to review and make the decision for yourself. Going back to these retirement accounts briefly, age 70 was important only because that is when, your benefit for Social Security isn't going to grow anymore beyond that. So age 70, you would start to collect at a minimum. Age 70 and a half, I've actually had people who continue to work past age 70 and a half. And quite often they might think, oh, I have to start taking money out of my retirement account at age 70 and a half. Well, if you're still working and you're not more than a 5% owner of the company, you don't have to take money out of your retirement account. So that is something to keep in mind when you're transitioning from working to retiring. Don't think you would be forced into retiring if your company doesn't otherwise require you to. Just because you turn 70 and a half doesn't mean you have to retire. If you want to keep working, you can. And then you can wait on taking distributions from your 401k. So let's talk about these accounts then when we're transitioning from working to retirement. You have to be really, really careful. So you want to think about what you're going to do before you retire, before you're kind of in a pinch or oh gosh, now I need money and I have to move it quickly and you didn't think it through. Plan it all out beforehand so you know what you're doing. You know how much money you're going to need set aside if you're in a period of transition and maybe you don't have the pension check coming in, or you don't have the Social Security check coming in, or you don't have access to your retirement accounts maybe for a month or 2 months or something while things are transitioning. So you want to make sure you're going to know how much money you need, but then you also want to be really, really careful when you're deciding what to do with these accounts. You might transfer them. You could take distributions from them. You could leave them where they are. What do you have in the retirement accounts before you start transferring and getting all excited and moving things? You want to make sure you know what's in those retirement accounts. You pull out those statements and you look, is there employer stock? If there's employer stock in your 401k, you want to contact HR and ask them what the cost basis is. If you have it at a particular custodian, maybe there's a phone number on the statement that you could call and ask them if they have it in their records. What is the cost basis of that employer stock? Because there's special tax provisions around employer stock in a plan. Are there after-tax monies? Are there Roth monies? So we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from this next break. making sure you understand what's in those retirement accounts before you do anything with them and before you're forced into doing anything with them. If you have questions, you can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can just call and give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY, and we are talking about transitioning from work to retirement. Big thing to watch out for, folks, when you're moving accounts or have those accounts, you know, from sometimes longtime employers, sometimes multiple employers. You want to make sure you sit and look at those statements. You know, one thing I've found is a lot of people will have online access now, and they might look at a picture of their investment options or, you know, their investments, how they're currently invested, but they might not see everything that makes up that account. So you want to make sure that you have a statement, or if it isn't showing up in a statement, what comprises that account you have? Is there any employer stock in the account? Do you have after-tax dollars in the account? And what I mean by that, people who have worked for companies for a really long time may have been putting in money into the retirement account in their early years, back, you know, pre-1986. They may have been putting in after-tax dollars, meaning they weren't getting a deduction for it on their pay stub, on their W-2. They actually used after-tax dollars. Sometimes you still have after-tax dollars in those retirement accounts. And for many, many years, you know, people were rolling those over into rollover IRAs and not paying attention to the after-tax piece. And then all of a sudden, they either lost track of it, or now they have something called cost basis in their IRA, and it's a special calculation on their tax return every time they take money out of their IRA, because some of it's not going to be taxable. And it's a formula, and it's a little complicated if you don't pay attention to it or you forget about it. So now the IRS came out several years ago and said we can roll over our after-tax dollars in our retirement accounts into a Roth IRA. That's why it's really important to look to see what's in those accounts before you move them. If you can move your after-tax dollars into a Roth IRA, any future growth and earnings on that account will be income tax-free. So it takes a lot of attention. So after-tax dollars can be rolled over into a Roth IRA. Employer stock has something special, a net unrealized appreciation. You could take a distribution of the employer stock, some or all of it, in a lump sum distribution, pay tax on the cost basis, and then the difference between the cost basis and the fair market value is something called net unrealized appreciation, and it is subject to long-term capital gains tax rates, which are much lower than the ordinary income tax rates that if you rolled it over into an IRA, a rollover IRA, you lose that benefit. And then that money is forever ordinary income. So make sure you know what is in your IRA. For many years, a lot of company plans now offer a Roth feature. I think they call it a designated Roth. So the 401k, instead of putting money into the 401k on a pre-tax basis, and instead of doing it on an after-tax basis, you might be doing it to a Roth IRA, or a Roth 401k, excuse me. So same limitations that apply to a 401k, only you're not getting the deduction for it, and even the earnings will come out income tax-free. My example about the after-tax dollars, you don't get the the earnings while it's in the employer plan tax-free, but that after-tax contribution will retain its tax-free piece. The Roth piece, your contributions, because you didn't get a deduction, are tax-free, but the earnings on that Roth piece also are going to be tax-free. So when you have a 401k, you want to make sure to look to see if you have any Roth piece in it or regular piece, because that would be a separate distribution from the regular 401k. If you're going to roll it over, you could roll it over to a Roth IRA. If you had a Roth 401k, why would you want to roll it over to a Roth IRA? Because 401ks have required minimum distributions. Roths don't. So while it's in your employer plan, fine to have the Roth 401k, get all those great tax advantages, you know, on a long-term basis. But when you retire or move, you can roll it over to a Roth IRA, and then you're not going to be subject to required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half. So understand what's in those accounts before you move them. So that's part of the transition. I should come up with a checklist, actually. So before you retire, here's the checklist. How many months out or how many years out, you know, 2 years out before you think you're going to retire? Let's look at our cash flow. Let's look at our budget. Let's look at our retirement accounts. How are we saving? What are our income tax consequences? What are our goals for after retirement? So here's going to be the checklist. You have to start planning this and putting it into play. And then before retiring, let's get the statements. Let's find out the cost basis. Let's find out the pre-tax dollars the after-tax dollars, the Roth dollars. Let's go through a checklist, make sure we have everything in order before you retire. What else might happen when we retire or get close to retiring? So this transition, we say, we think we're going to retire. Maybe we're a couple years out. Maybe you've built up $1 million 401k and you think you're going to retire in 2 years. When we do our little checklist of getting ready to retire, we might say, I notice I only have $1 million 401k. I don't have anything else. Well, what's going to happen when you retire? When you retire, you're going to have to take money out of that 401k to live on if you don't have anything else. Let's say you don't have Social Security yet because you're retiring at 60 and you don't have a pension. You say, well, I saved all that money, Lori. I've got this great, big, huge account. Well, now if you're going to have to take money out of that account, are you going to be worried about how it's invested? Because now you're going to count on that money, right? You're not working anymore in my story. You're not working. You don't have that paycheck coming in to pay all your bills. Now you're going to have to rely on this pot of money. Do you think your risk tolerance is going to change? That might be something else to look at. So is your risk tolerance going to change? Maybe while you're working, you're comfortable with the market swings because you know you're working, you know you've got that paycheck coming in, and maybe you're a moderate investor. All of a sudden, you're 2 years out from retirement. You know you're going to have to rely on that account to give you that paycheck every month until you're eligible for Social Security. Are you going to be able to handle the swings in the market if you're still a moderate investor? Maybe you will, but maybe you won't. And if you don't think you're going to be comfortable with that, then you might need to look at whether or not you need to shift your investment allocation based on maybe a more conservative risk tolerance if you're feeling that way. So these are some of the things you have to watch out for. So then as we kind of understand those accounts, we might say, do we have any money outside the retirement accounts? Because remember, I just said, if you take in money out of your retirement accounts, typically that's mostly ordinary income. We haven't seen huge Roth IRAs yet at this point. We're seeing more and more of them as they're growing. But for a lot of people who are retiring, they may never have thought of Roth IRAs because it just wasn't on their radar all those years, or they weren't eligible for them, or their employer didn't offer them. So maybe they were saving all their money in their retirement accounts and didn't have any money outside. Well, that's something you might want to think about if you're 2 or 3 years out of retirement. Maybe you need to start stockpiling some money outside of the retirement accounts so that when you need money, it's not going to be a taxable event every time you have to take money out of an account to pay a bill. So again, 2 or 3 years maybe, part of this transition from working to retirement, let's look and see what kind of money you have outside of the retirement accounts. It's going to help with the budget and the cash flow. So we'll talk a little bit about budget and cash flow when we come back from the break. And then I want to talk a little bit about hobbies and part-time work and how that impacts Social Security and healthcare costs. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk and ask questions on air if you're comfortable doing that. And if you're not comfortable doing that, just give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. It's 6:30. Your current temperature is 72. Tonight, low around 58. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 79, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Thursday night, low around 54. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 69. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 54. And Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 67. Saturday night, low around 59. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 77. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back, folks. I think we had someone who tried to call in. They can try again. We'll see if we can pick up that call. So we apologize for any difficulties. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And if it doesn't work for you to get through, you can always send questions through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. And I'm usually really good about answering those questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. All right. So the budget and cash flow. So where are you going to get your monthly paycheck to pay your bills? And do you know how much you will need? So that's a good idea to know what this would be before you retire. What kind of bills might you have? So a lot of times what people don't realize is when we're working, we're paying federal tax, state tax, local tax, Social Security tax, Medicare. And you might say, well, you know, my net paycheck is X amount of dollars, and or I need to make this much because that's how much I made when I was working. I made $50,000. I need $50,000. Well, you won't necessarily need that same $50,000 if you're not having to pay the state and local tax, if you don't have earnings, or you don't have the Medicare or Social Security tax you're paying. So you kind of want to project this out a little bit so you know what to expect. Healthcare costs are going to end up being a big cost, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Maybe you're not driving as much because maybe you had a long commute. So maybe you could discount the gas costs a little bit, or maybe you're going to travel more now that you're retired than you did while you were working. So maybe you actually need to increase the travel budget. So you want to do a little bit of work on what your budget looks like today and what you think it might look in retirement. If you're still working, kind of a little game you can play with yourself is to live and spend like you're already retired. And if you can afford to do that, you might be in a better position when you do retire. You'll kind of have an idea of what that's going to look like. Let's talk about what you're going to be doing in retirement a little bit, because some things to consider. Some people will have hobbies and they say, oh, I'm going to do my hobbies. Well, you want to think about what the cost of those hobbies are. I had one gentleman who I think flies planes, like model planes, but they're big planes, and it's quite an expensive hobby. So you want to be careful of what hobby you think you're going to do. Are you going to be able to afford that hobby? Also, what risk might be involved in the hobbies that you might have? You know, some people say, oh, they love to travel. Well, maybe they're going to go scuba diving in the coral reefs, or they're going to go skiing. You know, you want to make sure that you also understand the risk that might be involved with some of those hobbies that you're doing. But another thing that people like to do when they retire sometimes is get a part-time job. Some people really don't want to retire, but maybe they want to retire from the profession they had all those years and want to retire to a part-time job doing something they really love. I had a gentleman who went part-time working at a golf course and a liquor store, and I've seen people take on part-time jobs with some favorite nonprofit. So there are a number of part-time things that people can do when they retire. But what you also want to figure out then is, what is the impact of your part-time work in this period of working to retirement, this transition of working to retirement? You might have some implications. So you might retire and think, oh, I'm going to collect Social Security, why not? And then land yourself a great part-time job. Well, you have to understand that there are certain income limits on how much you can earn if you're collecting Social Security pre-full retirement age. Once you reach full retirement age, you can earn as much as you want. But if you're pre-full retirement age, there are some limitations. So let me read these from the Social Security website. If you reach full retirement age in 2018, Social Security will deduct $1 from your benefits for each $3 you earn above $45,360. Until the month you reach full retirement age. So what that means is, if I'm pre-full retirement age in January and I decide to collect my health, Social Security, let's say I collect it January, February, and I'm not going to turn full retirement age until September. Well, if I'm collecting Social Security and working, they're going to take back a dollar for every $3 over this magic number for the year, $45,360. And then once you reach full retirement age, they'll let you keep all your benefits. If you're under full retirement age, so that's between 62 and whatever your full retirement age is, Social Security is going to take back a dollar for every $2 you earn above $17,000. So if you work, so it's a dollar over every $2 over that amount. So at some point, they might end up taking it all back if you get a $100,000 job. But maybe you're only going to be over at $1,000. Let's say you make $18,040. They're going to take back $500 of that. So they will take back, if you are working pre-full retirement age and collecting Social Security. And they said income is counted when earned, not when paid. So I think this is important in your transition. Some people worry like, oh, I'm still going to get this severance, or I'm going to get this holiday pay. They said it's income is counted when earned, not paid. So as an example, accumulated sick and vacation pay or bonuses that might be paid the next year after you technically retire, those shouldn't count if they were earned in the prior year. There's also a special rule for the year you retire, where you would get your full benefit despite your yearly earnings. And if you work part-time, you are still let me go back to this. So if you reach full retirement age June 1st of 2019, and you earned $100,000 up till June 1st, and you reach full retirement age and start collecting, they're not going to keep back a dollar for every dollar. In the year you retire, they don't care what you made before. They'll start you fresh. If I say I retire July 1st, they don't do those earning limits if I'm not going to earn any more money. So that's something to keep in mind. The other thing I thought that was important for this transition period, that if you work part-time, there's a special rule for the year you retire where you would get your full benefit despite your yearly earnings. And if you work part-time, you're still considered retired if your monthly earnings are $1,420 or less. If you're self-employed, it gets a little trickier. If you're self-employed, the IRS will look at hours worked per month. Hours worked. So I don't know how they figure that out. But if you work 15 hours or less, you are considered retired. So that is self-employed. So I think they also look at the money in some ways too. If benefits are withheld, it will increase your monthly benefit in the future. And it's probably a good idea to let Social Security know if you expect a change in your earnings so they can make the adjustment sooner than later. And you can contact Social Security through their website, socialsecurity.gov, to probably inform them or find out the local office or the phone numbers that you need to call. There was a study done by Fidelity that said the average retirement age is 62. So, you know, when they first set up Social Security and they had this early retirement age, 62, I think a lot of people weren't living to that age. And we're finding out people are living longer and longer. And that's why we're having probably an issue with Social Security running out of money. They're going to have to find different ways to fix it. One way I would expect would they would raise that early retirement age from 62 to something, you know, much older. Because at 62, you get a haircut on your Social Security benefit. And at that time, if you're retiring early, you also don't qualify for Medicare. So you're going to have health care costs that are going to really cut into that benefit you're getting in Social Security because you're not Medicare age. Just because you're collecting Social Security doesn't mean you qualify for Medicare. And I think some people still get that confused. So let's talk a little bit more about that study. Fidelity had said that this was How to Plan for Rising Healthcare Costs, put out by Fidelity on Fidelity.com on April 18, 2018. And that's where the study indicated that the average retirement age is 62 for most Americans. And again, that's 3 years before Medicare is even set to go into effect for you. And then they had a section, healthcare, what's your price tag? How much should you plan to pay in healthcare cost after you retire? According to the Fidelity Retiree Healthcare Cost Estimate, an average retired couple aged 65 in 2018 may need approximately $280,000 saved after tax to cover healthcare expenses in retirement. These are some really big numbers. So when you're thinking about this transition from work to retirement, keeping this in mind, maybe you could incentivize yourself to work a little longer to get closer to that Medicare age or that where you qualify for Medicare, and that would save a lot of out-of-pocket money for your healthcare cost. When we look at these transitions, we also, and speaking of healthcare costs, depending on if your employer let you go or not, or whatever might have happened, sometimes you have family coverage. If you turn 65, sometimes you don't have the same medical benefits. If you now qualify for Medicare, maybe your spouse isn't going to qualify on your medical plan anymore, on your employer plan. You need to check that out. Don't make assumptions, especially if you still have kids at home who are covered under 26. Family coverage, are you going to be eligible for COBRA? And if you are, how much is that going to cost you out of pocket? You want to see what health care is going to be available to you if you retire early or in any event, you're transitioning from work to retirement, because it could be a really big cost. For Medicare, they want you to sign up about 3 months ahead of time before you turn 65. So 3 months before you turn 65, you're going to want to look at signing up for Medicare. If you are still working, though, and you have qualified medical coverage, you do not have to sign up for Medicare Part B. You don't have to sign up for it. So you want to make sure you understand that, too, if you continue to work. Where might you do that? Well, you might do that if your employer will continue to cover you, and if you have a spouse or family members on your policy. Maybe you want to keep working because of that. So maybe you want to rethink that transition from working to retirement if you think you can get some more health care benefits through the employer group plan. That's why they're more affordable, because it's a group plan and everyone's participating. So watch out for that. Another thing in people transitioning from work to retirement, a lot of people will start thinking about relocating or travel. So when you're thinking about a relocation, You want to understand what that's going to mean for your future cost. How are you going to pay for a new home, maybe? So we'll talk about that when we come back from this next break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And I'm not sure if the phone is working yet or not, but if not, the website is also available, and I'll make sure I get to your questions there, and that is at yourfinancialchoices.com. Just submit your question, and I get an email to alert me, and I'll probably get to those tomorrow, so yourfinancialchoices.com as well. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
The many choices and real voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are talking about transitioning from work to retirement. And we're just kind of going over some, you know, general topics to really consider and think about before you really jump ship. At least if you're someone who's working and has time to think about it. I know that over the past several years, some of our local corporations haven't given you time to think about it. And they just say goodbye. And then now you're a little panicked, but for the most part, for people who are secure in their positions, I think it's a good idea to think about this probably, you know, well, hopefully through your entire career, you're saving, but before you totally cut the apron strings, you know, give yourself a couple years to kind of embrace the change and plan for it. I really find that people who kind of go through the steps getting ready for this are a little bit better prepared and quite enjoy their retirement once they've got everything kind of set up. One other thing which I should have referred to back with this Fidelity study and this article that they put out, which the name of it again was How to Plan for Rising Healthcare Costs. They do mention that sometimes people think Medicare is their coverage and that's all they're going to need, when in fact you really generally need to get a supplemental plan, because Medicare might cover like 80% of the cost. So that supplemental plan will cover those additional costs that you otherwise would be expected to pay for out of pocket. The article says there's a lot to learn about the world of Medicare. You'll need to know about Medicare Parts A, B, and D, as well as Medicare Advantage, which is C, and Medigap supplemental insurance plans. And we had Daniel Banks from Silver Crest Insurance on, gosh, I think it's probably been a few weeks ago, several weeks ago. I know it was in September, and that would be on that video recap that I mentioned earlier, talking about Medicare and the ABCs of Medicare, because there would be out-of-pocket costs generally for you. There are some plans that might not have as high of premiums, but then you might have higher co-pays or out-of-pocket contributions you have to make. So it's really, really important to understand what kind of healthcare costs you're going to have once you retire, especially if you retire before Medicare age 65. All right. So let's talk a little bit about something that people talk about when they retire too. They retire and they say, you know what, I'm thinking about moving. I maybe want to move somewhere warmer, or they want to move somewhere closer to their children. those children who are now having grandchildren. And so people will say, I think I want to move to Tennessee, or I want to move to New Mexico or North Carolina, Florida, Michigan, all these different places. It's really important to kind of scout that out ahead of time. Sometimes the housing prices aren't what you think, you know, depending on where you want to live in the country. Housing prices could be very, very different. But also taxes could be different. So you want to think about where might you retire, and understanding not just the cost that you will incur in that locale, like the housing costs, but real estate taxes, sales taxes, income taxes, how much is how much is the move going to cost? What if you have to buy a home and you haven't sold your home yet? What kind of financing are you going to be able to get? What kind of financing are you going to be able to get if you don't have any money coming in? I have had a couple cases where the banks would not finance a new home purchase unless the person showed they had income. And the bank said, you have to show income. And if your only income's from they wanted income on the tax return. So the person had lots of money in a non-retirement account. The bank didn't want that, apparently, as I don't know what it would have been, collateral or something. They wanted to see income on the tax return. They said, you should take money out of your IRA, and then you'll have income on your tax return. I don't understand how they can do this. It makes no sense to me. I would not intentionally want to put IRA distributions on my tax return to show I have income to qualify for a loan that I otherwise would have enough other assets to show I'm good for it. Makes me a little crazy, but I'm not a banker. Don't understand. So you want to know before you get into this kind of situation, if you want to buy a second home maybe in one of these other locales, what kind of financing would you be eligible for? What's it going to take? Do you have money outside of your retirement accounts? I think for many, many years, people were so it was ingrained in them to save pre-tax, defer, that people kind of got out of the habit of saving outside of the retirement accounts. And then you're really in a pickle when you go to retire and you need money for things such as financing a home or a purchase, maybe an RV if you want to travel like that. Or you have an emergency. You don't want to be in a situation where you're having to pull money out of retirement accounts and incurring those big income tax when they hit. Because another thing that people don't often consider is if you are collecting Social Security can be taxable depending on how much other income you have on your return. So if you're collecting Social Security and that's the only thing you're getting, you say, this is great. I don't have any income tax because I just have this Social Security and they're not taxing it. Oh, but hey, I wanted to buy that new car. I'm going to take the money out of my retirement account. I'm going to take $30,000 out of my retirement account. All of a sudden, you put $30,000 of IRA distribution on your tax return, and now that Social Security that wasn't taxable before is now 85% includable. And I'm just making this up. This is my estimate. You know, all of a sudden now my $20,000 of Social Security is getting included to the tune of $16,000. And now I just went from not having income tax, thinking, oh, when I have my $20,000 IRA, I'll still be in a low tax bracket. But boom, by putting that income on my return, my Social Security is now taxable, and now I'm paying higher taxes. So you want to be sure where you're getting money for these things you're going to do in retirement, or if you're going to, you know, travel, take money out for traveling or buying that RV. There is a website that I used to go to quite often, and I just checked on it today. It is still there. It's called retirementliving.com. Retirementliving.com. And what I liked about it is they have a map, and you can choose what state you are interested in learning more about. And when you click on it, it will tell you things like the sales tax, the cigarette tax, the alcohol tax, if it's their inheritance tax or estate tax. And then what they used to do is they also used to give you kind of a highlight about the income tax. But now I've noticed there's a link for all of at each state that you're looking at. There's a link that takes you to another website that gives you a summary of what the income tax are for that state. I realized probably it was just getting too overwhelming for this particular website to keep that up to date, because taxes change so often and so much that they just decided to link to. I think it was, I can't remember, but it's a website that sounds familiar that kind of summarizes all the taxes for the various states. But I think all the other information was really valuable. It kind of talks about, is there a personal property tax or an intangibles tax, or kind of an idea of what the real estate taxes are. Another thing you can do too is there's websites for real estate. So if you really are interested in looking at relocating to another state, there are websites for realtors. There's like realtor.com or Trulia or Zillow, where you can go on those websites and get set up kind of like a search or a filter for something you're interested in, and you can get alerts as to what kind of information, or just do a search for something you're interested in, 4-bedroom, 3-bedroom, apartment, whatever it might be, and it up will pop the kind of an idea of the housing cost for you. So that's a good way to do that as well. I had a call come in. We can only take off-air calls right now, and we're at the end of the show, so we probably wouldn't be able to take any more. But I do want to mention, if you were trying to call, you can go to the website, your financial choices, and send them in. So we hope to get those the calls fixed next week. Kay from Whitehall called in, and she said she gets Social Security disability. Do the dates for Social Security still apply? And Social Security, Kay, is a little different. So when you're talking about the dates, I'm not sure, because generally when you go on Social Security disability, I do believe you're getting what would be deemed your kind of full benefit that you have earned based on the credits you've accrued at that time. I don't think they give you that haircut on Social Security disability. So the days or the dates I think you're referring to might be when I'm talking about the early retirement or age 70. Now, you said you worked for the federal government for 40 plus years and they had a matching program, and you have Roth and other accounts. How will you know when you when she has to take distributions? Will you be notified? Roth accounts, you do not have to take a required minimum distribution unless it's an inherited Roth IRA. For your 401ks or IRAs, sometimes the custodian will notify you. But at age 70 and a half is when you will have your required minimum distribution. And you have till April 1st of the year following to take that out. But generally, you want to take it out in the year you turn 70 and a half, unless for income tax reasons, you want to wait till that April 1st. If you wait till April 1st of the year following, then you're going to have two required minimum distributions in that year. So again, the custodian may or may not notify you. You have to know when you turn age 70 and a half that you're going to have to take a required minimum distribution. It's based on your age. Your life expectancy at 70 and a half is 27.4 years. You add up all your IRA accounts, not the Roth, add up all your IRA accounts and divide by 27.4. That's the amount you have to take out of the IRA. If you kept your 401k separate, it's a separate calculation and you have to take the money out of the 401k, same divisor, 27.4. So if you've kept your 401k separate from your IRA, you have a required minimum distribution out of each one of those. You also asked how you can invest what she has to take out. So if you have to take the money out and you don't need it for cash flow, then you can, you know, set up an investment account and invest it if you're not needing the money and get that working for you in whatever avenue that might be. I hope I was able to answer the questions tonight, and I hope I was able to add some guidance for this transition from working to retirement. There are a lot of balls in the air. There's a lot of pieces that are moving, And as I say at the end of every show, be proactive, not reactive, because if you're ahead of it, you're better prepared. There's not as many surprises, whether it's making sure you're understanding what's in those retirement accounts before you move them or take any distributions out of them or before you roll them over, that you understand what your cash flow is going to be. Where's your paycheck going to come from? Are you going to budget the way you need to for those retirement years? Do you need to change your risk tolerance? Factor in Social Security. What are your health care costs going to be? Should you get a part-time job? How might that impact your ability to collect Social Security? Lots of different moving parts, but it's such an exciting time. It's such an exciting place to be. So don't make it painful. Embrace it, enjoy it, and do it the right way. I want to thank our listeners tonight for calling in. I really appreciate it. And Lori, thank you for being here and taking those calls. I know it was a little frustrating tonight. Shandi, thanks for being here and helping out as well. Next week, I am going to be talking about charitable giving, I believe, because we have our pledge drive next week. So I'm going to talk about all the different ways you can do charitable giving, because there's still lots of ways we can do it, even if we're not getting those tax deductions like we used to. So that's what I'll be doing next week. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.